The Set Free Movement, a branch of the Free Methodist Church that serves people in addressing sexual exploitation and slave labor. And I got a few slides I want to show you. Here's the first one. Definition of when we talk about human trafficking, what it actually is. Human trafficking is the exploitation of a person for the purpose of compelled labor or a commercial sex act through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. We find that this is an issue around the globe, even in the United States. Here's another slide. Every 30 seconds, another person becomes a victim of human trafficking. This next slide surprised me, but it may just make sense. It says the Super Bowl is commonly known as the single largest human trafficking incident in the United States. And I read that there were sometimes 10,000 people that were shipped in that are a part of that industry, that are a part of that experience. And we don't think of it that way, but human trafficking, people who are exploited for pleasure or profit, it happens around the world, even in the United States. So what I'd like to do is show a video. It's about 3 minutes and 42 seconds long. Kevin Austin, who is the leader of our Set Free Movement in our church, he and others kind of share an overview of the ministry. And so I direct your attention to the TV screens.
The Set Free Movement was founded on the idea that we believe that human trafficking is not a problem. Human trafficking is a symptom. It's a symptom of a much deeper problem, and that problem is relational brokenness. And the problem is relational brokenness, is brokenness in community. So we serve with compassion at the margins, and we also work to bring hope and healing to broken communities.
I think what breaks my heart for the issue of human trafficking is that people are exploited for the benefit or pleasure of other people.
When people first hear about human trafficking, they think about only the sex trade. And then when you start to bring up labor trafficking, and then you start to talk about how our purchasing is influencing that.
It's shocking, and yet it now it seems to become so normal. It doesn't matter if it's an inner city like Detroit or a rural area or a county seat. People are taking advantage of people. It's just the nature of human evil today.
A lot of times people don't realize what's going on. And a lot of times they think it's something further away that's happening when it's really happening, you know, in their neighborhoods and in their communities. It's not as complicated as we make it a lot of times.
God is always concerned for the vulnerable. He's always calling us to action on their behalf.
We want to come alongside the vulnerable. We want to let them know we see them, we hear them, we're ready to enter in, to learn from them, to partner genuinely with them.
The team approach, the community approach, moving from just literally freeing someone, but giving them a new future, that we're not merely in a world of rescue, but we really believe that through Christ and through so many practical resources that an entirely new future can be created.
The Set Free Movement casts this vision of looking at the vulnerabilities of a community and the complexities of the community. And you have to link arms with other people and build relationships. And it's important to do that because our youth is our future and they don't have a voice and we need to be their voice.
Each one of us has influences. We've got family, friends, coworkers, people that we talk to, people that we influence in a variety of ways. We can influence all of those people towards freedom. Over time, we can create transformational change in a community where it might start with one, but if one influences five, and if five influences 10, and if 10 influences 100, and if five people can be helped, if 10 people can be helped, if we change our consumerism based upon that, if we directly intervene to stop somebody from being trafficked, wow, like that's incredibly successful. So yeah, we can't free 40 million people today, but we can help free one.
So the message today is part awareness, getting an understanding of some of the issues in our culture, in America, and in our world. But also I've got a message in the second part of this that I hope it will give us insight of how we are a part of the solution. I want to direct your attention to your sermon listening guide. And we learned last week, the first paragraph, human trafficking generates $150 billion each year and enslaves an estimated 40 million people. A United Nations report said the most common form of human trafficking, 79%, is sexual exploitation. The victims of sexual exploitation are predominantly women and girls. Surprisingly, in the 30% of the countries which provided information on the gender of traffickers, women make up the largest proportion of traffickers. And in some parts of the world, women trafficking women is the norm. The second most common form of human trafficking is forced labor, 18%, although this may be a bit misrepresented because forced labor is less frequently detected and reported than trafficking for sexual exploitation. And finally, worldwide, almost 20% of all trafficking victims are children. However, in some parts of Africa and the Mekong region, children are the majority, up to 100% in parts of West Africa. So the mission of the Set Free Movement, which is a branch ministry of our church, is this. I'd like for us to read it together. Mobilize faith communities, financial partners, in all segments of society towards ending human trafficking and creating new futures through community-based action. The title of the message today is this: how a community can give someone a new future. I want to talk to us today about how we, as a body of believers, can give somebody a brand new future. And our text is taken from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Many of you are familiar with the story. It's about a woman who lost her husband. She has two sons. The creditor comes to the family and says, "I want to take your two sons, and they will become slaves to pay off the debt." And in this story, I believe there are insights of what God expects of the person who is being exploited, but also the responsibility and the opportunity of the bigger community. So I want to share with you three simple points of how a community, a group of people, can give someone a brand new future. Number one in your notes. The first point is this: sexual exploitation and slave labor existed centuries ago, and it still exists today. It still exists today. If you would read with me verse 1 on the backside of your sermon listening guide from 2 Kings 4. Let's read it. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Slave labor existed centuries ago, and it still exists today. I read that in India, debt bondage is very common. Some 150,000 are forced to work off debt in a brick kiln, in rice mills, or on a farm. It is debt labor to pay something off. And so exploitation, it comes in all different kinds of forms. It could even be pornography. That is a market that some people are enslaved to, and they take advantage of the person. We find it could be forced debt labor, and that's what happened in this case. Here's a quote I want you to look at. Slavery was abolished 150 years ago, and yet there are more people in slavery today than at any other time in our history. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Here's another quote by Wilberforce. He was an activist in England to abolish slavery. He says this: you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. And so the reality is, you and I have to have eyes of awareness as far as on the globe, and even in America, and even potentially in our communities, that these issues can exist. So point number one, it's existed for years. But number two, understand there's something God wants us to do about it. So point number two in your sermon listening guide is this: the rescue plan will always involve the participation of the individual being exploited. The rescue plan is going to require something of the person or people who are trapped. So in this text, verses 2 through 4, read with me what happened to Elijah and this widow and the two sons. Let's read it. Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." Notice with me, the prophet Elijah asks something of the widow and the two sons. He says to the widow, "What do you have?" And she says, "I really don't have anything except a little oil." You see, a miracle always begins with a little oil. It's something insignificant to us, but God can take it and it becomes part of the rescue plan. So here's what Elijah told the widow to do. "Go around to and ask all the neighbors for empty jars." So the woman had to be actively engaged in the liberation plan. And the point is this: whether worldwide or here locally, any person who is trapped in a sense of slavery, whatever that might be, there is something they have to do on their part to help find emancipation or liberty. It's active engagement and participation. I've got a couple quotes. Here's the first one. "Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you." In other words, God is saying, hey, there's choices involved in life that set us free, and we all are responsible to make good choices, as well as people who are trapped. Here's a second one. "Life is about choices. Some we regret, some we're proud of, some will haunt us forever. The message: we are what we choose to be." So understand, in this story, Elijah the prophet said, "Speak to the widow," and the widow had a part to play in the miracle. She had to make choices in obedience to say, "Hey, I want to get this solved or figured out." And he says, "Okay, I need your oil." She says, I don't have really anything, but I have just a little bit of oil. And that was the material for the miracle. So point number two, understand, any rescue plan always involves the participation of the individual who's being exploited. All right, let's go to number three. This is the good part. The rescue plan will also involve the participation of a community of people. The community of a people. Now, read with me verses 5 through 7 in your notes. She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Here's what happened. Elijah says to the widow, go to your neighbors and get as many empty jars you can find. I want you to look at the story thinking about the neighbors. Understand they had jars that the widow did not have. They had something she did not. She had a very limited supply. The neighbors were her community, a group of people she lived among. And he said, go to your community and ask for empty jars. You see, God will ask something of us. He will ask for our jars, whatever that means to each of us. He will ask for our time, our talent, or maybe it's our money. But this is what the community can do to help give somebody a new future. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, Barnabas and Saul met with the church, and it says they taught a great number of people. The word church, let me explain what that means. It's ekklesia in the Greek, and it means this. It's an assembly of people. It's a congregation. It's a body of believers. It's people who are like-minded. It's people who have been called out from the world. And that's the church. Listen, we are a part of that. We've been called out. We are a community of people. We're in Walton, New York. That's who we are. And understand, there's a part the community plays in helping a person get a brand new future. You know what it is? Our empty pots. The jars. Or whatever God asks us to help or throw into to help someone else out. And so we find that they ask all the neighbors for the jars, and the boys probably went out and brought in as many as they could. And the story goes on, and the widow starts pouring the oil, and she fills up one jar after another, after another, after another. I mean, this is the miracle part of God at work. And then she says to her sons, bring me another one. And they said, or one said, hey, we don't have any left. And the oil stopped flowing when the last jar was filled. And the prophet says, hey, she went and told the man of God, and he says, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. The miracle was there was enough proceeds from the oil to pay the creditors so the boys would not go into slave labor to the creditors. I want us to catch the glimpse of the value of being a part of a community of people. You know why? Sometimes we might be the widow where we need the help. Maybe we're the person that is trapped and we're drowning and we need assistance ourselves. Other times we're a part of the bigger community and we have empty jars we can give to the widow for whatever miracle that person needs. The community, though, and I want you to catch a vision of this, can give somebody a brand new future. That's what these neighbors did for the widow and the two boys. They didn't have to go into slave labor. Understand your role in the community. You are so important and valuable to God. You know why? You have jars in your life, things that you can give or help to help other people get free. And you are a part of the miracle that could not happen apart from being a part of a community. If the widow and the two boys, if that's all their life was, they only had a few jars, but it was inadequate. They needed a bigger supply from a larger group of people for the miracle to happen. And that's how God works with us. We just have to be available to say, God, I want to help somebody get a brand new future. Got a couple quotes I want to share with you. Here's the first one. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed. If there's anything that should give us passion in life, I mean, having a holy drive, a sense of commitment, it's to defend people who are vulnerable. Whether it's kids through exploitation or even sexual trafficking, or we should just have a righteous indignation to say, I want to be a part of a community that is a part of addressing the need to help people get a brand new future. Here's another quote. Human trafficking is a community-wide problem, and as such, it requires a community-wide solution. I mean, it takes all of us. And we need to be a part of the solution, the answer, to be a part of the miracle that God wants to do. Here's another quote by a young lady. Join hands to stop trafficking. I mean, what are the empty jars in our life? What does God want from us to help people to get a better future? And then finally, here's the last slide. It's by Thomas Jefferson. He says, do you want to know who you are? He says, don't ask. He says, just act. A-C-T, just act. Action will delineate and define you. Act. You know, the thing is, God calls us all to act. And we need to be a part of helping other people. In John chapter 11, Lazarus has died. And they wrapped him all up and put him in a tomb. And Jesus came along a few days later and raised him from the dead. Remember the story? He's still all wrapped with these grave clothes. And you know what Jesus said to the disciples? Here's what he said. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus breathed life into Lazarus. But then he told the disciples to take off the grave clothes. That is the church's job, helping people take off their grave clothes. It's who we are. It's what we do. And in this case, we need to act in such a way to help people take off their grave clothes. Got a great example of this. Denise is having a food fundraiser on the 24th. Where's Denise at? The 24th. There she is right there. And it's her life group doing it. And you know what they're going to do with the proceeds of it? They're going to send it to the Set Free Movement. Like, what a cool idea. I mean, the church, the board says, yeah, we're going to send $500 to them, and we're all a part of that. But here's my challenge. If you're a part of a life group, maybe you want a project for this fall season. Maybe you want to rally around a cause, and maybe this is one of them where whatever you do, whatever you can creatively raise awareness or funds or money, maybe you want to send it to this group, like Denise's group. So, Denise, thank you for being a great example to us all. The point is this. We need to act. We just need to do something. And God wants us as a community to be the answer that can give somebody a new future. So, number one, it exists out there today. Number two, understand the rescue plan is always going to involve the participation of the person who's being exploited. They have a choice to make in this too. Number three, the rescue plan will also involve the participation of a community of people. I want to say I love each of you. You know why? When I look back over the years of ministry of the church, this group is just naturally defaults to helping other people. I mean, this isn't new. This is something you've been doing for years. And so we want to be a part of an ecclesia, a group of people who respond to a need to help other people get free. And you know how you do that? With the empty jars in your life. It's the surplus of what God has blessed you with. It's what you have in your house. It's what you have in your skills and ability toolbox. It's who you are. It's any of those things. And when you give them over, other people can be set free. I don't know how many picked up this flyer on the way in. It's called 12 Ways You Can Join the Movement. And they're on the table. And if you didn't get one, you can pick one up on the way out. And it talks about 12 different ideas of how we can act. But I want to share three, and that's it, just to highlight them. Number one, the first thing we all can do is this. We can all just pray. What do we pray for? Pray for our leaders, Kevin Austin and others, who that God would bless them with favor, and the people they're working with, that the power of the Spirit would help set people free. Number two, we can give. We can give financially. There's a giving method if you want to tap into that, or you could even do something through our church and just put Set Free Movement on it. But if you have an extra empty jar in your life, and by that I mean figuratively, maybe it's funds or something you could bless other people with, the second way is to give. And finally, the third thing. I want you to find somebody in your community where you live and become their protector and mentor. There are a lot of kids in Walton, in Delhi, in Downsville, wherever you go, who are in a disadvantaged place in their life for different reasons. I want you to find one person, or maybe they're a widow, maybe they're elderly, maybe whatever their age, find one person, and I want you to invest in their life. I want you to take time and spend time with them, and maybe it's buying them something, maybe it's just spending time with them, encouraging them, but become their protector and their mentor and invest in their lives. It's one of the greatest rewards. You know what you're doing? You want to give them a better future because you're part of the community of something they cannot do on their own. So pick this sheet up on the way out, if you would. And 12 ways you can join the movement. There's more. There's talks about shopping smartly. And there's some companies that give towards the Set Free Movement. But you can read through those and just do how God leads you. Well, as we close this morning, I want you to think of the way you can act. You need to act. Just one thing. Whatever that is. Just one thing. What can you do today to act to help a group of people like the widow and the two sons, someone in your community, someone far away? It could be sponsoring a child in another nation, some child that's vulnerable, and so for so much a month you can support them with food. You can make a difference in the future of one person when we just act when God leads us in a certain direction. Let's pray. I'd like for you to take just a few moments of silence, and even those listening online. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you of what you need to do to act. One thing, one simple thing, whatever that is, just let him speak to you right now. Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves to you. I offer myself. I offer us as a community to you, that you will take us and you will give cause and mission to act, that you will show us plainly how we can be a part of a miracle for some other person to give them a better future. And we pray for liberty. We pray for freedom. We pray for those in bondage, that you will use us to be the empty jar, the pot, the clay, that you could somehow bless others through what you've given to us. So Lord, help us to be people of action. Today, one thing that can make a difference in the life of another person. And for this, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.